Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation. Black power, black power, black power, brothers and sisters. You're listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. I am your host, the national chair of the new Black Panther Party, Sister Crystal Muhammad. Tonight, Wednesday night, is when we are giving the updates, the weekly updates on what's going on with the coronavirus as well as other biological weapons and tools of mass destruction that have been unleashed on our people. We want to use Wednesday night platform as an opportunity to keep current updates in regards to what is taking place as it relates to the coronavirus, the biological weapon, of the vaccines, and all of the hysteria and media misinformation and disinformation that has been disseminated. So tonight, in particular, there's a clip of your immunity project that we are waiting for it to continue to upload into our system, and it will be played along the second half of tonight's broadcast. But in the meantime, in between time, I'm going to play Dr. Rashid Buttar. There's a clip in which he's addressing the COVID 19 and Dr. Fauci's role in it. And then there's another clip I will be playing, a couple of clips from Dr. Christina Sparks in her presentation before Congress, as well as the interview she did on Boyce Watkins. And a couple of these clips you may have heard before, but this information is so imperative, and we have a lot of new people that are listening, and we want to make sure we keep getting the facts out. So we have brothers and sisters. I did not get a chance to give a shout out to everyone who's listening in Africa, in the many countries of Africa, as we know it is late and you're tuned in during the late night. Shouts out to all of our people that are listening in South America, in Central America, and the Caribbean islands. To our people listening in the UK, salute. Canada, salute. And last and certainly not least, to our brothers and sisters who are listening here in United States of America, as well as all over the planet. This COVID epidemic, plandemic that we call it, has affected the globe. And unfortunately, there's been all these different variants allegedly that have come out right after the vaccines start coming out. It is no coincidence. And it amazes me that not only were people duped into taking one vaccine shot, then two vaccine shots, now they're telling you to take a third one. When are you going to fucking wake up and smell the fucking cracker? The deception, the deceit. But if your mind is that gullible that you would fall for this, then perhaps you are so in love with the devil that there's nothing that we can say or tell you that can help you. But for those of you, what's taking place? We're going to keep putting the right information out. So without further ado, I'm going to play this clip, and then we are going to get our minds fed with right knowledge. As we know, there's a lot of false information getting pushed.
The information presented in this video is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease and has not been evaluated by the FDA. Please consult your physician before starting any medical regimen. Oh yes, my friends, we have another exclusive interview for you today, one that you will need to share to the four corners of the earth, because we're going to be asking questions and bringing you information that the mainstream media is absolutely ignoring. An emergency doctor blasting Bill Gates, the fake pandemic numbers, now in question as the economy collapses. Rashid Buttar, he graduated from Washington University with a double major in biology and theology before attending medical school at the University of Osteopathic Medicine and Health Sciences College of Medicine and Surgery. He trained in general surgery and emergency medicine and served as brigade surgeon and director of emergency medicine while serving in the U.S. Army. He is a board-certified clinical metal toxicology and preventative medicine. He is board-eligible in emergency medicine and has achieved fellowship status in three separate medical societies. Today, he serves as the medical director for the Centers for Advanced Medicine with clinics in California and North Carolina. These clinics specialize in the needs of patients with immune dysfunctions and toxicity issues, usually manifesting in various conditions such as cancer, heart disease, in autism, and for over 20 years, he has been ranked as one of the top 50 doctors in the United States. His first book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, became a Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and Amazon bestseller, and is now an international best-selling book translated into multiple languages. Now this week, a video he made called out the fraud that is being perpetuated across the world by the World Health Organization, the CDC, Bill Gates, the deep state, the mainstream media. It went viral with millions of views worldwide. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it.
Now, 3 weeks ago, you called this a conspiracy. You called out the hysteria being perpetuated to scare the world population based on false data. Now, it was Jerome Adams this week, the Surgeon General, and the Trump administration who agreed with you when they announced that they had dropped the World Health Organization and the CDC model and are now working with real numbers. Okay, this is directly from the White House. This is the Office of the Press Secretary. Now, Tuesday, the White House putting out this press release demanding accountability from the World Health Organization and committed to investigating the response, the false claims, and the cover-up. So explain to our viewers what led you to this discovery and how the numbers never supported their claims.
Well, Gary, basically, I have patients from all over the world, and patients were concerned about this, and they asked, and I put out on social media that, look, if you really want to know, I'll make a video about this, and I expected some people to respond. I had, I don't know, 700-800 responses to just put this, yes, please get us the information. So I asked the question, because you're hearing stuff about conspiracy, so those videos that we put out were actually asking the question, COVID-19 conspiracy question mark, and as I started looking at it, I mean, to me, it just didn't make any sense anyway. We deal with the hardest to deal with medical conditions anyway, so it wasn't a big deal. I just remember that when I heard about the coronavirus aspect, there was one particular component that we used intravenously a lot in our clinic, and I just made sure that we had 10 times the normal amount, and that was it. It wasn't a big deal. It didn't bother me. However, as I started looking at this information, and as I started seeing that this is actually a chimeric version, something that was developed here in the United States in 2015, was published in Nature magazine, that it was developed in the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hills, where all the initial studies were done. The chimeric research, despite having a moratorium by the U.S. government to prevent any chimeric research, by the way, just so your audience understands, chimeric research basically means that they're taking a naturally occurring substance, a virus in this case, and then mutating it, genetically modifying it, changing the configuration morphologically to gain function. It's called a gain of function study or gain of function research, and that basically means that they're making something that already may have some potential to cause harm, making it more harmful, making it more virulent, making it more resistant, and basically that's what I found, that they took the SHC014 strain of the coronavirus, the surface antigen component, and brought in the backbone from the SARS coronavirus, put them together, and then inserted HIV and MERS orthologs on top of it to make a more virulent, more detrimental virus. Now, the thing is that
if I could jump in for just a moment here, because what I think you're talking about is the moratorium that was placed, and then $3.7 million from the National Institute of Health was transferred to China so they could continue this research, even though the moratorium. So they basically outsourced this research to China. Is this the same topic we're talking about here? This news is just breaking?
Yes, this is exactly right. So it goes back to 2014. The U.S. government decided, based upon certain virologists at that time, saying that, look, there's no justification for this kind of research. There's a potential for it to cause harm, cause a pandemic, so there's no justification for us to do this type of research. So the government passed a moratorium in 2014. Fauci approved budgets to be, monies to be sectioned for this type of research. So basically, and I'm getting really, every time I think about this, it gets me really flustered because I'm so angry that he basically broke the law. He more than broke the law. He created this entire cascade that we're seeing with the world shutdown was created by this initial aspect back in 2015. He broke the law. He went against government moratoriums. He took taxpayer money and he funded research that has now led to the COVID-19. In 2017, he was documented at Georgetown University saying that there will be a pandemic that this presidency will face, that this term will face. How did he know that in 2017 that something was going to happen in 2018, 19, or 2020? There's no, you can't predict the market from 3 days from today, what's going to happen. How did he know that there was going to be a pandemic? He stated the president of this president will face a pandemic. The exact quote, I don't want to say the exact words. You guys have the video footage. My point is that when somebody starts making these type of statements, and then they were involved with the breaking of the law to fund the research that American taxpayers paid for, that then goes to Wuhan and now trying to create this diversion and say that it was China. God, I don't know whether it came from China or released in China, whether it was already released here. It's irrelevant. the complicity of what's going on right now, whether China, whether it was released in China or whether it was already here or however it happened, the U.S. system has condoned it, has jumped on it. They're opportunistic. They're shutting down the economy when they know, in fact, that there's no basis. I mean, there's no virus that leaps 6 feet or 12 feet. Now they think 13 feet. Complete misinformation. And I'm sorry that you've pulled the chain on me right now, but the mainstream media, when the Surgeon General came out and said that basically the Gates model, the Fauci model, the World Health Organization model was not going to be followed anymore and they were going to look at the actual data, the actual numbers, the mainstream media didn't respond at all. All they said was, it seems like we're going to be going to 2022 before people can assemble together. That's what ABC put out. And Fox, or was it New York Post put out, it seems like that the 6 feet of social distancing is not going to be sufficient. It needs to go to 13 feet. There is no virus bacteria that jumped 13 feet. It's just, it defies every logical aspect of science and medicine. And what really, really pisses me off is that there's thousands, tens of thousands of doctors and scientists out there that know that this is a fraud, and they're not saying anything. Either one, they're scared of social ostracization because they're going to be called out, or social shaming, or they're afraid of, that they're going to lose their license. For God's sake, this is changing the planet, and every scientist and every doctor that knows this to be a facade needs to open their mouth and speak. There is every aspect of science has just been literally picked up, thrown in the toilet, and flushed down. It's like everybody's ignoring it. The fundamental aspects of how the human system works is being ignored. Physiology is being just put in the garbage bin. Every aspect of virology and infectious disease is being ignored. Koch's postulate has been ignored. Every aspect. Then you've got false positives coming from testing that we know is not adequate, and then the testing that they are doing, like the RT-PCR, the real-time polymerase chain reaction testing, that's already been shown. It was actually the guy who developed it in the 1980s, Mullis, said that you cannot use this testing for diagnostic purposes. You have to use it only for the where something has a genomic sequence that's already been identified. You can't use it for diagnosis. Yet they're using it for diagnosis. And when that's not enough to justify the number of deaths that they've created this pandemic for, they're causing doctors and nurses to go back and change the death certificates to say COVID-19 is the first cause of death. And if that's not enough, now their mandate's being sent to every state, every doctor from every state medical board saying that there's no necessity to test. I got a letter like this myself. If they have symptoms, send them home. And then the mandate of listing the cause of death is COVID-19. The media propagating footage of hospitals and from one country to another country using the same footage, people, the same person dying multiple times, use of mannequins to show that the people are dying, and yet they can't even show ambulances that are doing anything. They're all parked. They're all sitting there. People are playing chess. They're playing card games because they're so idle. Nurses are being laid off right now because there's not enough work. But they're pushing this agenda of fear, fear, fear. The fear-mongering itself will increase your adrenal output, will cause more stress, more emotional distress. The emotional aspect, one side, now you're talking about the financial aspect. People are going to get stressed. Guess what that does? It reduces your immune system and makes you susceptible to viruses, bacteria, to many other things. But then to create this illusion over something like COVID-19, which nobody has yet demonstrated a single death from the actual virus, from the proper, established, accepted methodology that a virus has caused this death. Nobody's been able to do that. It's all based upon PCR testing. And Gary, I don't know whether you know this or not, all the way back to 1984, all the way up to now, 2018, there are multiple studies that show that if you've had the flu shot, especially the trivalent flu shot, false positives on COVID-19 testing. God knows what's been injected into people over the years. They really want to know cause of death. I want to know how many of these people that are supposedly died from COVID-19, which, by the way, still the numbers are less than seasonal flu. The number of deaths are still less than the seasonal flu. But I want to know how many of these people that died of supposed COVID-19 actually had a history of a vaccination, an adult vaccination, in the last 10 years. That's what I want to know, because the studies clearly show that if you've had a flu shot, you're going to test positive for COVID-19. So you got all this other stuff that's going on. They can't justify the numbers, so they're going to change the death certificates. They can't justify the numbers, so they're going to take different footage of different people and then attribute that to COVID-19. They just had, CBS had that nurse that was crying, saying, please give me a face mask so that I can take care of people and I don't want to risk my family getting them infected. And then they find out that she's not, hasn't worked in a hospital in a year and a half, and she's some kind of a social media model. The amount of misrepresentation, deception, diversion tactics to keep the public from knowing the truth, it's just unbelievable. So I cannot believe
So let's take it back to what you said at the beginning of this fascinating statement you just made. I mean, I'm blown away, and all our viewers are right now. But so we're going to take this back. Is Fauci directly responsible for this pandemic? Because he maneuvered the money, he maneuvered around the moratorium, kept this chimeric research going in China. Is he directly responsible for not just the pandemic, but also the response that's killed the economy, put, 17 to 22 million people out of work? Is Fauci directly responsible?
I'm going to say this. I think that I've seen some petitions going around. I know Dr. Shiva said that Fauci should be fired. I think that's the nicest thing that could be done to Fauci. I think he should. He's a criminal. He's broken the law. He's gone against the government. I mean, to me, that seems like it's a traitorous thing to do when the government has passed a regulation and he's at one of the highest levels in the NIH. He's got a directorship at the NIH, and then he breaks the law. He breaks the moratorium, and then funds research against something that could potentially cause harm throughout the entire world, and he's in collusion with a foreign government to do. I mean, I don't know. That's a matter for attorneys to decide. But I'll tell you something. Fauci goes back to 1981. In 1981, he called HIV/AIDS the gay disease, and he was the one who funded the research behind a drug 3 years before it was even established that there was a real virus. So the virus was established in 1984. In 1981, he was pushing the agenda of a drug prophylactically to treat people for a condition that has now been seen to be related to lifestyle, nutritional status, all sorts of other things. He was pushing the agenda to push a drug that caused so much harm as a prophylactic, just to prevent HIV. Now, this goes back to 1981. We're talking 39 years. This guy has a history of pushing an agenda. Here's a question that I want to ask you, Gary. Forget about the audience for a second. I just want to ask you a logical question. So here's the president. Regardless of whether you are for the president or against the president, forget about that. The man is elected. He's the president of the United States, and it is our responsibility as citizens to follow the directive of our commander-in-chief. Whether you agree or disagree, that you went through the process, you got elected. So get off that bandwagon, people, and stop making a big deal between the Democrats and Republicans. He's a president. He deserves our support. But now the president comes out and says there's a drug called hydroxychloroquine, which has been on the market for God knows 50, 60, 70 years, and another drug, Zithromax, which has been, it's a macrolide that's been around for at least, that class of drugs has been around for at least 70, 80 years. Maybe Zithromax has been around for, I don't know, 20 years, whatever the case is. These are established drugs. They're safe drugs. Using them in combination, they're doctors that have shown at least 99% efficacy. They've shown hundreds and hundreds of patients have treated. Nobody's died. Symptoms resolve within an hour, hour and a half to a day and a half, 2 days. Okay, so you've got this class. The president brings it out. And Fauci says, get this, Fauci says, unless there's some studies to show that, it should not be used. Yet he's promoting a vaccine that we have no idea what the hell that's going to do. And he's saying that's okay to use? I mean, if that does not show a conflict of interest, I don't know what does. People need to wake up and realize there is a massive criminal component to this. This entire world economy, this whole world economy shutting down, it comes back to one person, in my opinion, and that's Fauci. Now, there's other people that are involved with the charade, obviously, but Fauci is the person that they put up in the front, and Fauci is the one who had the ability to stop this. Fauci has told a friend of mine, Judy Mikowicz, who I was doing an interview with, this was about an hour earlier, she went to jail and spent 5 years. She was threatened by Fauci 10 years ago when she came out to say that the viral studies and the research that she had done, and she was in charge of doing the research in Ebola to make it more virulent, the gain-of-function studies on Ebola, she was responsible for that. When she realized the stuff that she had developed and the stuff that she was researching was being used for nefarious purposes and she was going to be a whistleblower, her career was threatened and more, her life was threatened. She refused to back down. She went forward, and guess what they did? They framed her and they put her in jail for 5 years. She's got a book that came out today, I believe called Plague Something. It just came out today. I'm telling you right now, Fauci, it can all be traced back to Fauci, but Fauci is just one of the players. There's other people, and you can start looking at what the agenda is. It's wide open. Anybody can go in and do their own internet search. They just need to open their eyes, they need to open up their mind, and they need to be married to no decision or outcome. Just look at it for yourselves, people. You've got your brains. Use your own brain. Come up with your own sequence of events, how it happened. Do the research, and you will, if you're following a logical, sequential thought pattern, you'll come to the same conclusion. There's no way that you can come up to any other conclusion. All roads lead back to the same place.
Now, let's take it back to another point you made, okay, regarding the classifications, the death classifications. What are you hearing from colleagues regarding those classifications or reclassifications concerning CV?
Okay, so I've had correspondence with many of the doctors that I've trained and some of the doctors that are friends of mine in a social setting, and they're all saying the same thing. They're saying that this is not viral. I don't know what it is, but it appears to be altitude sickness. It appears to be a hypoxic injury type scenario. And the doctors that have come out and actually stated this have been censored. My videos, part three, part four, and part five, were taken off YouTube after they hit like millions of views. YouTube censored it first, then Facebook followed suit. Now, there's certain videos that they've left up. They've left up part one, part two. We put out a video less than 48 hours ago. It was a five-minute video about the Surgeon General and what he said and how the media is not covering it. And that one was, you know, had millions of views. But I know there are many doctors that are aware of this and anything. The doctors that have given me information, the doctors that have shared information with me that are in that setting, because I'm not doing emergency medicine now. I haven't for almost 20 years. I was trained in emergency medicine and general surgery, but my practice is dealing with cancer and other types of chronic disease, autism. We have patients from 93 countries. So I'm not dealing with the acute medical situation, but I have an in to many of those doctors that are taking care of it. And I'll just read you some of the things. I mean, the doctor that from the ICU, ER scenario that was in New York, that whose video went viral, they shut him down. They censored the video. And why would you censor a doctor that's in the field, that's in the trenches, taking care of people, and what he's stating, why are they not covering, allowing him to be able to make his statement? You know, bottom line is this, Gary, when you have an acute care situation, you have a respiratory condition, the first thing that you want to remember is to maintain the airway. So in trauma medicine and emergency medicine, we have what we call the ABCs of medicine. A is airway, B is breathing, C is circulation. So if the airway has the potential of being compromised, you want to stabilize that airway. So how do you make sure that a person is able to maintain that airway? We start off easily with 2 liters of oxygen per nasal cannula. You can increase it to 5, 10, whatever. At that point, then you can go to assisted breathing. You can go to CPAP, which is continuous positive airway pressure. Then you can go to BiPAP, which is bi-level positive airway pressure. And there's studies that show that actually CPAP or BiPAP is more effective than intubation. But as soon as you start intubating a person, now you've got many other things that happen. Okay, you've got the trauma, the barotrauma from the mechanical ventilation, that's an issue. You've got aspiration pneumonia as an issue. You've got the actual intubation process that can cause more inflammatory cascade and trauma to the airway. There's all sorts of different things. Once you start going into the intratracheal intubation part, there's all sorts of things that happen, potential problems. Now, what they've done is they have bypassed CPAP and BiPAP. They've completely bypassed it. They've taken people with respiratory conditions and respiratory stress, and they've put them right into the intubation aspect. And the doctors that I'm getting feedback from are saying, yes, there is an increase in respiratory conditions of people having that in New York, but it's not viral. It doesn't seem to make sense. It's a hypoxic injury. It seems to be where the hemoglobin is disassociating. There's some kind of a disruption. And there is an explanation for all of that, but it's been completely ignored. The videos that were censored, there was a letter and a number that was the keywords that made those things get censored, and that was Now, I don't know whether you want to talk about that. Nobody said caused COVID-19. That's what mainstream media is saying, that there's a conspiracy theory that caused COVID-19. Not even an idiot would say that, okay? Not even an idiot would say that. What we're saying is that is changing the cellular matrix. It's changing the morphological structure of the cell membrane, and basically the specific thing is changing is the voltage-gated calcium channels that allow efflux of calcium into the cell, and efflux of calcium into the cell is pathognomonic for cancer. It causes a suppression of apoptosis and uncontrolled cellular proliferation. There are over 2,000 published studies talking about the effect of this is the next generation of internet. Our normal cell phones are between 500 and 900 hertz. 1G is 1 billion hertz. The studies have been done to show between 1.7 and 1.8 gigahertz, or 1.7 to 1.8 billion hertz, causing all sorts of different cancers and neurological implications. When fully rolled out, It's going to be 30 gigahertz to 300 gigahertz. That's 30 billion to 300 billion hertz. Now, you're not telling me that that has nothing to do with this? I'm going to tell you the complete outline of these six videos, Gary, in 30 seconds. First one, COVID-19 conspiracy, facts versus fiction. I'll outline the facts versus the fiction. The second one was COVID-19 conspiracy, toxicology ignored. Everybody ignored the toxicology component. There was what happened in Wuhan, outgassing of the incinerators causing massive combustion of fossil fuel. People were inhaling this stuff. People were toxic. This went back to 2016, 2017, garnered international attention, and BBC and CNN covered that how the Wuhan people were in outrage, and there were public demonstrations because the quality air was so bad. These people were poisoned. And we've got chemtrails, we've got all these different things. We've all been piloted. Look at what's happening with cigarettes, with DDT, all the stuff that's been happening generationally, and now recently glyphosate and all these other things, the opioid crisis. That our systems have been polluted with all sorts of chemicals. So toxicity is the first component you got to be aware of. So now we go, the third video is corrupted science. We've already talked about the COVID-19, how that was developed. The fourth video was immunity. Nobody said that is causing COVID-19, but is suppressing your immune system. It's taking a person that's vulnerable and making them more vulnerable. If it's a healthy person, it's decreasing their immune system and making them more vulnerable. That's what we're saying. And whether it's radio frequency, electromagnetic fields being generated from the, whether it's dirty energy from electromagnetic fields that's been created, I don't know. I'm not an expert in that area. I'm not an expert in anything. I know how to deal with the human body. We have had numerous people from all sorts of walks of life, from all sorts of different parts of the world, come to us with serious disease. And I can tell you that if we can take care of that, this COVID-19 is not an issue. And it's not an issue for many doctors. There are hundreds, if not thousands of doctors that feel the exact same way I do. You can do ozone autohumor therapy. You can do vitamin C. Already in China, they were using that. You can just freaking take selenium. There's misinformation being propagated by mainstream media right now about selenium. Selenium is a birth control pill for any enveloped virus. If you're really concerned about it, up your selenium dose for the next 10 days. It's so simple. You can get it from any health food store. But yet they're pushing this agenda for a vaccine. Why? That's the question we need to be asking.
Well,
let's
ask that question, because what would you suggest is the motive for these world organizations pushing such blatantly false claims and spreading global panic?
Gary, I don't know, you didn't cover my military history, but I served with the 5th Special Forces Group. I served with the 2nd Infantry Division. I served with the 101st Air Assault Division. I was attached to these units as a doctor. I was part of these organizations. And I can tell you that we do a lot of things in the name of God and country, but then later in life, as we mature a little bit, we ask ourselves, if that was for God and country, then why did I have to take off my dog tags? Why did I have to take off my American flag, off my uniform? God forbid, if unforeseen circumstances were to occur, that U.S. forces couldn't be acknowledged there. We have done a lot of things in the name of goodness and God and country under the pretense of public safety that are truly not right, not just the military. And many of my fellow veterans will attest to that. What is the agenda right now? Well, I don't know if you want me to go back and mention some things that could be really considered controversial, but if you remember the first Gulf War, why did we go into the first Gulf War? Do you remember, Gary?
Well, the first Gulf War was, that was Papa Bush, and he wanted to, they had the babies in the incubators. They made up the entire pretext to go in there and take out Saddam Hussein. But they never did.
Right. So the pretext was really, what the media told the world was that we, the United States, went in to protect the oil interests of Kuwait because Iraq had set fires on those wells. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yes. It was to protect Kuwait.
It was to protect Kuwait. I can tell you the name of the person, if you want me to. He was a first sergeant, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying it. I'll just say it. First Sergeant Rafael Medina from Columbia, South Carolina, a very close friend of mine who served with me in Korea, and he told me, he said, sir, I don't know what's going on, but I can tell you that those fires, 300 of those fires, myself and 11 of my men in 6 dune buggies went out and set those fires. Okay, that's the type of information that the media doesn't cover. We created that false flag event so that we could then justify our actions. What is the agenda right now? I believe it's the same agenda. It's a false flag event to then mandate mandatory vaccines. They're mounting 5G towers everywhere. They've got toxicity all over the place from the outgassing, the combustion of fossil fuels, the chemtrails, all this different stuff. And then what are they doing? They're dumbing down the population. They're going to start giving vaccines, and the people that don't get the vaccines, they're going to basically be considered as dissidents. You know, people like me will be either shot in the head. People like you will be shot in the head, or we will be quarantined in some kind of a concentration camp. They're going to put more RF chips in us to see who has had the vaccine, who hasn't had the vaccine. And then the people that are getting more and more sick because of the vaccine, they're going to say, oh, my God, look, more people are getting sick. We need more vaccines. More people are getting exposed to 5G. Oh, look, more people are getting sick. We need more vaccines. And it's going to be a cycle that they're going to keep on going over and over again until they have got everybody digitized and they have RF chips in everybody. Now, you tell me something. The social distancing is 6 feet. The technology in the military has been there for 15 to 20 years where they can monitor a soldier as he's behind enemy lines. When they're moving, the special operators are always being tracked so that they can be protected, so the backup can be brought in, and they can be seen within a 5-foot radius of where they're standing. This 6-foot distancing, social distancing, this is absolute garbage. There's nothing that leaves 6 foot, first of all. The second thing is that these RF chips, you're telling me that when they insert these things in us, and which is the technology's been out there for 4 or 5 years, they've got private companies that are going out there and doing this. I've got video footage on part 6 already of showing people getting RF chips. You don't think that the satellites or other monitoring devices are being able to pick up individuals? They're trying to desensitize us so that people understand, hey, social distancing is going to keep you safe, whereas in fact, what is being done is so that they can monitor us and see us together, because if 3 or 4 or 10 or 20 people are together close, they can't tell if it's 1 person or 10 people. They want social distancing to imprint upon us now that this is something that's new now and everybody needs to do this for protection, whereas in fact, it's for more monitoring. It's for more tracking. It's for more ability for them to decide who is who should be available to talk and work, and who should be used as a dissident or classified as a dissident and made quiet. So you asked me the question, you opened up the can of worms, that's what I believe. Some people may disagree with me, most people may think I'm a lunatic. It doesn't make any difference, because you know what? It's a part and parcel of what's been coming down the pipeline for years, for decades. The National Vaccine Initiative stamped out childhood disease. We're not going to have autism anymore. And autism was 1 in 10,000 in 1991. Now the numbers are 1 in 32. The CDC's own data shows that 1% of the world's population has autism. The CDC's own data, the population of the world right now is 7.7 billion. That means 77 million people have autism. Caused from what? From the vaccines. And you're telling me that this new vaccine that Fauci's going to introduce and ignore the hydroxychloroquine and the Zithromax, you're telling me that that vaccine is something that I should be considering safe to introduce into my body, into my children's body? I'll be dead before that happens. There's no way that I'm going to allow anybody to take that, to take our sovereign right. Thomas Jefferson said that when a people allow a government to dictate the foods they put in their mouths and the medicines to take in their bodies, their souls will soon be in the same sorry state as those who live under tyranny. And that's exactly where we're going. Unless we rise and we and mass people go up and have public gatherings of thousands, 2,000, 3,000 people and show that there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear but fear itself, in the words of FDR. What are they going to do? Arrest 2,000, 3,000 people in every city? This is what's needed right now. And we have a small window of opportunity because the Surgeon General already came out and said the numbers, and the mainstream media is trying to desensitize it, block it, make sure that nobody knows about it, and they're upping their game. They're trying to tell people, no, not 6 feet of social distancing, 13 feet. No, it's not going to be 1 year before you go back to work. It's going to be 2022. That's what these bastards are saying. And for what agenda? To further the agenda of the vaccine mandate. It doesn't make any sense. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all lies. These numbers are not there. Even the numbers they're using right now still don't equate to the seasonal flu. Still they're under it. That's why they're overinflating the numbers. That's why they're changing the death certificates. That's why they're telling nurses to get laid off so they can go back and change the cause of death. That's why they're changing the mandate. That's why they've got mannequins and they're filming one hospital and it's all staged. I've never seen an ICU like what they had on ABC. I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, it's Italy, so maybe that's how their ICUs look. Then they show the same thing in New York. I'm like, wait a second. It's the same freaking footage. It's one lie upon another lie, Gary. And the American people, not just the American people, the world's citizens, this is affecting the entire world. You all need to realize that this is a facade. And the scientists and the doctors that are keeping their mouths shut, if you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. You are creating and perpetuating a myth, and you should be speaking out, not be worried about your own personal safety. Speak out the truth because the rest of the world needs it. Because you know what? I don't care what happens to me, Gary. I don't give a crap what happens to you or me. It's irrelevant. What I do care about is my kids. What I do care about is my grandkids. I don't have any yet, but one day I will, about the future progeny, about all of our future progenies, about the future of the human race. That's what I'm concerned about.
I wanted to come back and hit a point you mentioned about the percentages of individuals affected by vaccines. You brought up autism. But recently, Bill Gates, he went on CNBC. We covered it here, and he said, and he said with a smile, it was very, very sinister, in fact. He said 700,000 people could be affected by his vaccine, and that governments need to set up some kind of indemnification so that they're not held accountable for 700,000 people affected by the vaccine. He's admitting that. But when you have 700,000 people affected by a vaccine, but you also have the people who will be, quote-unquote, protected from COVID-19, they say millions of people are going to be dead because of it, and those numbers are revised. But they're accepting 700,000 people who will be affected, some killed, maimed. How do these people come up with this this rationale? And then they're going to make governments not held accountable for this when they mandate it? What's going on here?
700,000 deaths that he's talking about from this vaccine, I'm going to tell you, all the projected deaths from COVID-19, whatever the number is, you can put 9 zeros at the end of it. You can say the 7 billion people, that's what their goal is. It's not going to be from COVID-19. It's not going to be from H1N1. It's not going to be from Zika. It's not going to be from any of these other issues. It's going to be from the damn vaccines. It is, those that know already understand this. You just need to listen to Dr. Judy Mikovits and what she went through and how she was her entire career, her life. They deemed her a fugitive from justice. They put her in jail. I'm telling you right now, these people, Gates, Fauci, and their entourage, their minions, if you were to take these people and put them in jail, you would see the world would be such an incredible, beautiful, abundant place. They have been pitting Jews against Muslims and Christians against Jews and black against white and Democrats against Republicans, because they're trying to divide everyone so that they can be distracted. There's division, division. You divide and then you conquer. We need to understand that regardless of what different belief systems are, we are all part and parcel of the same species. We're humans. And they have been, their agenda, they don't care about what color you are or what your belief system is. They just want to, I'm just coming out and I'm saying it, Gary. I'm sorry if everybody thinks I'm a loon here. I don't really care. There's a depopulation agenda. Bill Gates has been quoted to say depopulation through vaccination. Now, I don't understand how a person can come out and make these kind of statements and say 700,000 people are going to be maimed. But I can tell you the 700,000 people are going to be maimed from the vaccine, you need to add another 3 zeros to the end of it, because that's how many people are going to be blamed. But they're going to blame it on the COVID-19 and justify, use that as a justification to vaccinate all more people. That's exactly what's happening. The people that say about anti-vaxxers and pro-vaxxers, and I've been labeled as an anti-vaxxer, I'm here to tell you I'm not anti-vaccine. I've never been anti-vaccine. What I am is anti-stupidity, because every aspect of the vaccination schedule that's being used in the human population defies every fundamental aspect of human physiology, every single aspect. The immune system isn't even able to mount a response till at least 6 months to a year. Depending on the immunologist that you read, the literature that you read, it can be from 2 years to 14 years before the immune system is matured enough. We know that the immune system cannot even mount a response for the first 6 months of life. Yet we're giving babies vaccinations on the first day of the planet. Why? Because for what reason? Well, because we want to protect them. Protect them from what? What are you protecting them from? What are you protecting a child whose immune system isn't even capable of seroconverting by adding substances that have a vaccine that has an immunosuppressive component in there, such as nickel, aluminum, mercury, formaldehyde, and then you give adjuvants such as DNA fragments and adducts and human mutated human cell lines and other all this crap that you put into the body. Now you're giving somebody something to stimulate the immune system, yet you're suppressing their immune system with all the immune suppressants that are in it, and you're giving it a time when the immune system can't even respond. So tell me, where's the logic of this? There's no logic, and doctors are like robots, and they keep on following this. Anybody who says that vaccines are necessary, they either are completely 100% ignorant, or they have a suspect agenda. They're financially motivated by saying it, because it's a blatant lie. There is no justification to put vaccines into the body at the first day on the planet, because the body can't even respond to it. Gary, I'll make an analogy for you. We know how to walk. God gave us legs so we can walk, right? But man came along and said, we need to improve our modes of transportation. So now when we want to go from here to South Africa, we fly. Similarly, the body has an immune system, and God designed the immune system to work a certain way. So man comes along and says, hey, we want to make the immune system enhance it so that we are more protected. Okay, so far I'm all with you. And the concept of vaccine is sound. I got it. You introduce a foreign substance, that's exactly how the body works. Now my question is, if I told you that every time you fly from here to any other place on the planet, you get on a plane, one out of 32 of you is either going to die or have some type of neurological permanent disability, would you fly?
No.
And that's exactly the point. Good concept with the vaccine, terrible product. Terrible product. And here's the thing that I didn't know until my friend Del Bigtree showed this in one of his presentations. Do you know that when you file a lawsuit against a vaccine manufacturer, do you know who is named as the defendant in that lawsuit?
No, I mean, I know about the vaccine injury courts, you know, the fund, well, but I don't know who's named in the lawsuit.
Who's named in the lawsuit is the Secretary of the Health and Human Services. Why, you may ask? Because in the 1980s, and I didn't know this, we go back to history, in the 1980s, the vaccine manufacturers came out and told Congress they needed a bailout. They said, there's so many people suing us because of the side effects, we need a bailout. President Reagan at that time said this is not a good idea, but Congress approved it and bailed out the vaccine industry and said we're going to not take over the mandate of policing and studying and making sure that everything's done, the safety studies. And of course, just like typical fashion of the government, it was dropped. The ball was dropped. So now, anytime somebody sues a vaccine manufacturer, because they were bailed out from Congress going all the way back to the 1980s, the defendant is no longer the vaccine industry. It is the government that is now has bailed them out. So the Health and Human Secretary is named in that lawsuit as a defendant. And guess who you're fighting? Guess who the lawyers are on the opposite side? The Department of Justice. The Department of Justice is supposed to be to make sure that justice is being done, is fighting and representing the vaccine manufacturers against the injury to the common person. That's how contorted and distorted and screwed up our system is. It is time to clean it up. It's time to take the Gates and the Fauci's and having them held accountable for what they've done.
Wow. That's certainly something to consider here, and that is really, I believe, where things are going. We're seeing people like Dr. Shiva, yourself, myself, we're calling for accountability in these leaders. And taking it back one more step, talking about the surveillance aspect, we see Google, we see Apple, and these different apps now, they are working to track COVID patients. What kind of a precedent are we setting here? You mentioned RFID earlier, and we do know that there is a specialized ink that they can put when they give you a vaccine that they can only be seen underneath a light. So what kind of a precedent are we setting here regarding invasion of privacy, as well as turning our sick into pariahs?
Gary, I think that you're being very, very generous and very gentle, because if you want to see what kind of precedent this is, I think you already know. You're smiling, so you already know. This is a World War II precedent. This is no different than what happened to the Jews, how they were ostracized, how other people of color, people of different belief systems were segregated and sent to the concentration camps. I mean, what's the difference between a ink that we can't see and an ink that you could see when they tattooed the Jews during World War II? What's the difference? It's the same thing. Okay, there's already information that goes back and shows Bill Gates' belief system, his belief system, the eugenics and their history that goes all the way back to, you know, whether it's direct, indirect relationships with all the things that have happened from Nazi Germany. There's a 5-6 minute video that we're going to be releasing tomorrow that was actually put out by, I believe it was InfoWars. It's a beautifully done 5-minute history of where it all started and where we are right now, and how connects it all. I mean, the amount of censorship that's going on right now, that in itself should be scary to people, that there's things that are being censored. You know, when people say, well, Dr. Patel, where's the proof? Why isn't the media covering this? You know, if it's true, then everybody would be covering it. That's the whole point. Censorship has been created in order to prevent the dissemination of truth. And these media organizations are all inclusion. You know, I just had a huge hack job that Huffington posted. Even people that are supposedly friendly to us in certain types of media, I was contacted by two different sources that wanted to interview me, but then both of them didn't want me to go into a certain area. And I told them, what? And they're like, well, we just don't want to cover that type of stuff. And I said, you know what? I'm being censored by the best. I'm being censored by the biggest, by YouTube and Facebook. I don't need you to tell me, you know, what you're trying to censor me on. If I want to be censored, I'll just stick with YouTube and Facebook. So, Gary, I appreciate you having the ability to and the desire to get the truth out. And I think that your name of your network, Next News Network, is very appropriate because I believe that that's where people are going to be tuning in for the source of information, like Robert Scott Bell, you, and many other people that are providing true information without censorship, and they're being censored. So I appreciate the media that is the true media that is has journalistic integrity and reporting all sides. That's what I put my life on the line for. That's what millions of Americans have died during the First World War, the Second World War, Vietnam, Korea, was for freedom. Freedom of speech. That's our first freedom. The freedom to bear arms, our second freedom. And that's what they've been trying to do. There's all the stuff about being disarmed, being disarmed, being disarmed. If they disarm us, guess what happens? Then they can make anything happen. I have friends from all parts of the world over the last 5-6 years that have been telling me over and over again. These are people that are not U.S. citizens telling me, I hope you Americans understand. I hope you never give up your guns, because if you do, then everything's lost. Because when America goes down, so does the rest of the world. Because we have the largest public group that is armed. We have so many retired military and law enforcement people out there. And I have a message for every law enforcement and every military, active duty or retired. I want you to remember these words. Every opportunity I'm getting to say this, I'm reminding them that you took an oath to defend the U.S. Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You remember that word, domestic. And remember that if you're law enforcement, active duty right now, military right now, when you're called upon to commit some type of action against the citizenry, remember, you take off your uniform, you're the same way. Your kids are going to be the same susceptible individual that's getting the RF chips and all this other stuff. They're going to be susceptible to the same poison. So it is illegal to follow an illegal order. So remember that. Remember that when you call to do something against citizens, remember that your job, the oath that you took, was to protect those that can't be that can't protect themselves. Protect those that are vulnerable, not to take advantage of them. So remember that oath. Law enforcement and military, active or retired, it doesn't make any difference. Remember your oath.
Remember your oath. Absolutely. Those are words to remember here. And for everyone watching right now, this a lot of information here, a lot of information we put on the table. And it's up to you now to take this information, share it with your friends, take the link to this video, put it in an email, share it, put it in a text message, share it, put it on Twitter, put it on Facebook, share the links, and make this information widely disseminated, because you're not going to hear this information on the mainstream press. You're not going to find it out there. They're not talking about these things. But we are here at the Next News Network with Dr. Buttar. Doctor, it's really been a pleasure to have you here. And do you have any final thoughts? What you want? You just gave a call out to the enlisted people, enlisted men and women, former military, but what is your call to action for the average American watching right now? What do you want them, what is the most important thing you want them to take away as we are working our way through this pandemic?
Gary, thank you for that opportunity. There's a website, askdrbuttar.com/NNN. If you can go to that, that's for the Next News Network. We've set that link up. And if you go there, you'll have access to all the vaccine videos that are being put out right now about Truth About Vaccine for a limited time for free. You'll have access to all the videos that we put out for COVID-19 that have been censored completely for free. There's no cost. Huffington Post came out and tried to say that I was charging $450 for all this stuff. You know, I've got good news for Huffington Post. You're going to be sued for slander. There's not a single dime that it costs you to do that. You can join the IADFW, the International Association for a Disease-Free World, if you want. There's no requirement for that, but the information and the resources are all there. And I want you to take those videos. We're going to make those videos available to be downloaded, because they can censor it from YouTube and Facebook, but they can't censor it from your own devices. And as Gary said, and I appreciate you saying that, Gary, get this information out into the hands of everybody else. If everybody has it, they can't censor anybody. They can't censor everybody. They may be able to censor some of us, but if it's in the hands of everybody, then they can't censor it. And that's what my call to action is go to that website, askdrbuttar.com. That's askdrbuttar.com/NNN. Get that stuff. get access to it, share it with your friends and family. And there's some tools there that are completely without any cost to you. Use them if you want to use them. Don't use them if you don't want. It doesn't make any difference to me. But get those videos downloaded and share them with your family and friends. That's all I ask.
Doctor, thank you so much for joining us. Folks, you got your marching orders. You know what to do. Share this information across all your social platforms. As always, we welcome your comments. And, Doctor, we want to have you back on again soon. If you're ever in the Chicago area, we'd love to have you in studio to have a real nice personal sit-down, long-form conversation on our podcast. It would be wonderful to have you. But the information you presented today, the passion and the truth is so important, and we hope that this translates to everyone watching. I know it is. I'm sitting here listening to what you're saying, and I'm getting fired up, and I'm excited to be able to present this information out to the American people. So, Doctor, welcome. We would love to have you back again another time.
I appreciate that, Gary, and I'd love to be part of the show.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Folks at home, you know what to do now. Hit the share button, comment below, and we will see you at the next report for the Next News Network. I'm Gary Franchi.
You possess the power to impact the global narrative. Please share this report. And to get more videos like this, become a Next News subscriber by clicking the link below. Thank you for watching the Next News Network.
Thanks for watching the Next News Network. Tap here to subscribe to the channel to get the latest news and alerts. Tap here to watch our latest breaking news and our top stories. Tap here for our latest featured interviews. And make sure you tap here to get in on the new podcast, The GCast, with my wife Angie and I. We'll see you at the next report for the Next News Network. I'm Gary Franchi.
Black Power, brothers and sisters. You just heard a clip from Dr. Rashid Buttara on the Next News Network in which he clearly broke down how Fauci, Bill Gates, and many of those who are conspiring in regards to the how the coronavirus was disseminated, on how the people who were most vulnerable to receiving the coronavirus were those people who had already been in the adult vaccine guinea pig stages by receiving the flu vaccine. And now this whole campaign to have people taking one shot and another shot and another shot is all coming out. It's all being exposed. So we're going to have another, I'm going to open up quickly to see if our Minister of Culture has something to say. Otherwise, I'm going to play a clip from, again, from Dr. Christina Parks. Is a virologist. We just heard from a doctor, a general practitioner, Dr. Rashid Buttara. And after we hear from Dr. Christina Parks, who is a virologist, we will hear the latest report that we're still waiting to update from yesterday that Dr. Aleem and the Your Immunity Project did. So this broadcast will last over the 9 o'clock hour, if so be it. Otherwise, we will continue the second part of Dr. Aleem's presentation on Friday. So with that being said, Brother Greg, do you have any questions or comments? Is baby girl up?
Black power!
Black power, queen! One more time.
Black power!
That's right, that's right, that's right. So I know we played that clip before, but I think it's very important that we keep beating it in. You know, CNN, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, HLM, you know, they're all pushing this vaccine on a constant basis and are refusing to put the truth out in regards to what's going on with this COVID. So every Wednesday night, we will bring you COVID updates from reputable sources. These are doctors. These are scientists who are validating what we've already told you, brothers and sisters. This is a global pandemic, biological weaponry for population extermination. For population extermination. Black Power, Brother Greg, is there something you want to add to that?
Black Power. Yeah, it's just a continuation of eugenics, you know, no different. no different at all. You know, we go back to the origins of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger. You know, Madison Grant. Go all the way back. It's just a continuation of it. It's nothing, you know, it's nothing new, nothing that's surprising. You know, I just really appreciate that we can have every Wednesday, you know, getting this information out there. Just like you just mentioned, I mean, 24/7, these guys, Gates, Fauci, and their whole clan, you know, their posse, they're out there. Every network, like you just mentioned, you know, and many others, you know. So hey, we got to beat it into the people. Repetitive, you know, as well, you know. That's how we got to go, toe to toe, blow for blow. The more that they try to, you know, put out there, the more they try to pull the wool over, you know, people's eyes, the more we need to expose them. You know, everyone who's listening, you know, go back. Go to, you know, the archives, you know, of this radio show. And yeah, here's just a little strategy, something I was brainstorming. You know, go back over through the archives. You can pull up all of the episodes, you know, that we've had with Dr. Aleem coming on, these other doctors. And man, we can bombard the media just as well. You know, we can do the same thing. Toe to toe. You know, everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something. I'm going to put that challenge out there to somebody. You know, I'm going to take on it also, but I want to put that out there. Let's go back and let's just so pull all of these episodes, you know, all these broadcasts, I'm sorry, that we've had, and let's get them out there on a regular basis. No different than what they're doing.
Black power.
That's right, Queen. Black power. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to play Dr. Christina Parks. And hopefully by then, so there is two clips from her. There is one that is an 8-minute and 44-second clip. This is the clip that she actually spoke before the House earlier this year. And then there's another clip in which she did the clip before the House is 8 minutes and 44 seconds. It's still saying 73% in regards to the upload for the Your Immunity Project. We got to play this project. Dr. Aleem and his team dropped some very powerful jewels yesterday. See, what's going on is every Tuesday night, Dr. Aleem Muhammad and the Your Immunity Project have conference calls. So this is why we scheduled Wednesdays to give the update. So what I've been doing, I've been taking the video from Tuesday night and converting them to audio, and then it has to upload into Blog Talk. And so I had a quite busy day. So it was just, I tell you, anything that could go wrong was going wrong earlier. But I did everything I could. I didn't give up. I was shooting files from a phone to the laptop. And now we're almost at 73%. Of it uploading. So what I'll do, I'm going to play this first clip, and she hits everything on the nail. And if the file is still uploading, I'm going to play another clip when Dr. Christina Parks is speaking with Dr. Boyce Watkins. And she goes a little bit more into it as he's able to ask her more questions. And the moment that this clip opens, I will play it. So if the clip opens during the first 8-minute clip, I'll play it. Otherwise, this next clip is going to be 22 minutes, and that's that. So here we go, Black Power.
Hello, my name is Dr. Christina Parks. I received my PhD in cellular and molecular biology right here in the state of Michigan from University of Michigan Medical School. And so I'm very well versed in the science of both these mRNA gene therapy vaccines, this kind of technology, as well as what a vaccine is designed to do in the body, what it can do, what it can't do, and the fact that this is extremely complex science that has been oversimplified in the media to basically take away our freedom of choice. What I want to address today in this limited time is the fact that vaccine requirements and mandates are based on the faulty assumption that the vaccines in question prevent transmission of the pathogen, right? Does the vaccine for DTaP prevent transmission? No. Does the vaccine for flu prevent transmission? No. Does do the vaccines for COVID prevent transmission? No. In fact, they were never designed to do that. All right, so you're asking, what about this 95% effectiveness? If you look at those clinical trials, they do not say that they prevent transmission. They expressly say that they're measuring whether they attenuate symptoms. So they're 95% effective based on their clinical trials at attenuating symptoms for the first variant, which is essentially gone in our population. Right now, the predominant variant is the Delta, and CDC Director Walensky basically said that these vaccines have no ability to prevent infection by and transmission of the Delta variant. So our policy needs not to be built on the hope of what we think something we want it to do, but what the data actually tell us. So do these viruses prevent, do the vaccines prevent the virus from infecting and replicating in the nose and nasopharynx? No. They've only been shown to prevent that replication in the lungs. They're different. The mucosa is very different than the lungs. It's very different than the blood. You inject it to the blood. You make antibodies in your blood. The virus isn't infecting your blood. It's infecting your mucosa, and you don't produce any IgA to neutralize it. In fact, recent studies have shown that the vaccinated, especially with the Delta variant, and the unvaccinated have similar amounts of virus in their nose and throat. In Barnstable, Massachusetts, the CDC tracked an outbreak of 469 cases of COVID. 74% occurred in fully vaccinated, and 4 out of 5 of those hospitalized were vaccinated. All right, so maybe they are mandating this because they just didn't know with the COVID. And so my main complaint is with our health agencies and the CDC, who basically know better and are misleading the public. So let's look at DTaP, which the scientists and the CDC have known since 2014 that the acellular pertussis vaccine does not prevent people from getting infected with the pertussis bacteria and passing it to others. In fact, it was never designed to do that. The vaccine was designed to neutralize the pertussis toxin. Pertussis, we know it as whooping cough. It can be fatal for children under 6 months. So neutralizing this toxin saves lives, all right? I'm not going to debate that. But what it doesn't do is neutralize the bacteria. So what happens is fully vaccinated children go to daycare, they pick up that bacteria, and they come home and they give it to their newborn brother or sister. They get deathly ill, and they go to the hospital. Hopefully, our medical professionals are able to save them. But who do they blame? Now the CDC is blaming anti-vaxxers for the limitations of this vaccine design. I suggest that they be transparent and tell parents that although it is preventing severe disease in their children, it is not preventing transmission because we have created a whole class of asymptomatic pertussis carriers who are increasing the disease. Now, the old DTP vaccine that many of you who are my age or older got did prevent transmission. When we switched to the safer acellular version, they knew that it was never designed to prevent transmission. It was safer, it had less adverse events, but pertussis cases have gone through the roof. There's a resurgence in pertussis because of the design of the vaccine, and the vaccinologists know this, they're trying to address it, and so we cannot mandate that something that does not prevent transmission. All right, what about the flu vaccine? Well, they have shown that basically there's no difference, there's no statistical difference if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, whether you get the flu or not. But it's even worse because although that first year it is somewhat effective, it's about 65% effective at preventing symptoms in you, after that it actually has negative efficacy. And I want to address this because it's very important. Vaccines are made to a specific variant, and when that variant mutates, the vaccine no longer recognizes it. And so it's like you're seeing a completely new virus, and because that's so, you actually get more severe symptoms when you're vaccinated against one variant, and then it mutates, and then your body sees the other variant. So there's the potential, and the science shows that, in fact, with the flu, if you get vaccinated in multiple years, you are more likely to get severe disease, you are more likely to have more viral replication, and you are more likely to be hospitalized, both in adults and in children. We are seeing the same thing in COVID with the Delta variant. And so we are mandating that people get a vaccine that could actually make them more sick when they're exposed to the virus. In fact, this week, a paper came out, and what it showed is that with this Delta variant, when you're vaccinated, your body makes antibodies that are supposed to neutralize the virus. But they were supposed to neutralize the old variant. When they see this new variant, what they're doing is they're actually, the antibodies are taking the virus and helping it infect the cells. All right, that science was just published this week. We need to be looking at the science, and we need our policy to reflect the science, and we also need it to reflect our rights. Okay. And so as a PhD who knows the science, I'm in the category of the most vaccine hesitant group. Yes, PhDs are the most vaccine hesitant, followed by people who have less than a high school degree because they know what they don't know and they don't trust their government. And many people, the other group that is very vaccine hesitant, are African Americans. 70% of African Americans have not taken this vaccine. Why? Because they don't trust their government. Do they have reason not to trust their government? Well, between the years of 1930 and 1970, the CDC conducted the Tuskegee experiment, where they took untreated males with syphilis, and they refused to treat them. Even after antibiotics became available, they still did not treat them, and they did not tell them that they had syphilis. They told those people that they were there to secure their health, and they did not secure their health. They abused them. You say, well, that was in the past, although I don't think 1970 was that long ago. Well, in 2012, whistleblower William Thompson came forward and said, we published a study that said MMR does not cause autism, but we lied. In fact, we shredded data that showed that when black boys are vaccinated on time, they have increased rates of autism diagnosis, and we shredded it and we left it out of the paper. As an African American and a PhD, I want to ask each of you, are we going to exclude 70% of African American people from the workforce and from education? All right, my ancestors did not work this hard. I come from a family that worked very hard, and I'm very aware that my privileges are dependent on the work of my grandmother and my great-grandmother, and I have great respect for these people that put me where I am. And yet you're telling me that my son will not be able to be educated if, based on the history of African Americans in this country, that he doesn't want to be vaccinated? All right, so I will leave you with that question. Who are we going to exclude from the workforce? Are we going to continue with discrimination and segregation in the United States of America? Thank you.
All right, that was Dr. Christina Parks. So we heard from Dr. Rashid Butera, general practitioner. We heard from Dr. Christina Parks. And now we're going to hear from Dr. Aline and his team at the Your Immunity Project. Now, this clip is 1 hour and 20 minutes, so it should be, the show will run over into the 9:30 hour unless Blog Talk hates Black Power.
Forget everything that we do with prayer. Attention prayer. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with you, O Allah, from the curse of Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin. Master of this day of judgment in which we now live. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Thee do we serve, and thee do we beseech for help. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Guide us on the straight path. Sirat al-Ladina anamta allahim, the path of those upon whom thou hast bestowed favors. Ghayru maghdubi allahim, not to pass upon those whom thine wrath comes down. Wallahi, nor those who go astray. Ameen.
Dr. Aleem, unmute.
Am I unmuted now?
Yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum. Greetings. Welcome to the Community Weekly Updates. This is our weekly Zoom conference call. We call it the Hour of Power. This is where you get the actual facts on what's happening with COVID-19, the vaccine, the mandates, all the rest of it. This is where you stay up to date. So welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. You're in the right place. You did not make a mistake. Stay locked in, and while you're doing that, call somebody. Let them know that this is what's happening. This is where you find out what the truth is. The truth shall set you free, not the lies. And so welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. We do this every week. Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're on a Zoom platform. We do a conference call. We're going to be showing a lot of images tonight and headlines. So if you want to log in on the Zoom platform, you'll be able to see those visuals. So welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. Call somebody, show them that you care. There is so much taking place. So quickly, it makes your head spin. And so this is where you get your equilibrium. The Your Immunity Project is not new. We've been here since the beginning of this pandemic. If you're new, we operate according to five principles. No matter what takes place, we operate according to five basic principles. It has to do with prevention. That's number one. Diagnosis is number two. Treatment is number three. Research is number four. And education is number five. Whether we're talking about a virus, whether we're talking about a vaccine, the five principles stay the same. It's all about prevention. It's all about diagnosis. It's all about treatment. It's all about research. It's all about education. We started out a year and a half ago with an alleged virus called COVID-19. We found out that we could prevent the spread of COVID-19 with the use of Paxlovid, low-dose alpha interferon, the same thing that they used in Cuba, the same thing that they used in China to flatten the curve. We found out that the Paxlovid that we have, it does the same thing. It prevents the spread of the COVID-19 virus. We found out later the Paxlovid prevents the spread of the COVID-19 variants, the Delta, the Epsilon, the Nu, the Mu, whichever one they came up with. Now they have one called the Omicron, the Omicron. Well, it doesn't make any difference. The Paxlovid will prevent the contagion of any virus. Anthony Fauci is warning about the smallpox as the next wave to threaten the globe with. He's threatening every which way, but regardless, whether it's the smallpox virus, whether it's HIV, whether it's hepatitis, whether it's the common cold, Paxlovid, low-dose interferon, prevents the spread of contagious viruses. Whether you have a diagnosis or not, if your nose is running, take the Paxlovid. If you feel symptoms, if you have a positive diagnosis, well, then you take the treatment dose of the Paxlovid, 4 sprays a day. Prevention dose is 2 sprays. We're doing research. We're expecting a readout of the first phase of our clinical trial, and we're beginning the enrollment in our second phase early in 2022, looking ahead. And we educate the public about all of our findings. That's what's happening right now. This is the educational phase. It's called the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call, where we give reports out every week of what's taking place. But what about the five principles where the spike vax protein is concerned, the self-spreading, self-propagating prionic spike protein that the messenger RNA shot causes people to produce in their bodies. How do you prevent that? How do you diagnose that? How do you treat that? Where's the research on that? What's the education on that? Well, the only prevention for the spike protein self-propagating shot is total avoidance, self-quarantine. You cannot be in the vicinity of people who have been vaccinated. The good news is the White House had to backtrack. They said 80% had been vaccinated. Now it turns out they lied again. They lied again. Now it turns out only 59% of Americans have been vaccinated. Of course, they changed the definition of vaccination, don't they? They changed the definition of vaccine, don't they? So when you're dealing with liars, what can you believe? Nothing. And so there is no way to prevent the spread of the spike protein except by total avoidance and self-quarantine. There is no diagnostic test. There is no treatment. Once a person has received the jab, there's no going back. We're inviting people who are involved, who have gotten the jab, who may be producing the spike protein, we're inviting them to enroll in the clinical trial as well. And then we will educate everybody concerning our findings. So those are the five principles by which the Your Immunity Project operates. So if you're new to the call, that's where everything fits in. It's either prevention, it's either diagnosis, it's either treatment, it's either a research issue, or it's either an educational issue. And that's how we move forward. The Your Immunity Project has become a movement. It's international. So tonight we may hear from calls around the world. We're going to have a special report from one of those who participated in the African American Expert Forum on COVID-19. Nova Feld is going to be calling in from 125th Street in the middle of Harlem. We sometimes hear from the Caribbean. We sometimes hear from Australia. We sometimes hear from the UK or Canada or Australia. And so the Your Immunity Project is where the information comes in. This is information central. So we're going to talk about what's in the headlines, and there's a lot in the headlines. Just before we came on the air, a judge in Louisiana, a federal judge in Louisiana, issued a federal injunction against Biden's mandate, requiring healthcare workers to be vaccinated. And that's a federal injunction, meaning that the whole country is affected by his ruling. Now, he said it probably has to go to the Supreme Court, but right now those mandates have been stopped by a federal judge. So that's the good news. The other good news is that we are in good supply with the Paxlovid. According to our records, we have completely caught up with back orders. You know there was a recall. You know there was sabotage. You know the ships were backed up. You know that there was a worker shortage at the bottling plant. But nonetheless, we delivered, and you were patient, and we thank you for that. And so if you have your ear to the wind, paying attention to what's going on, suppose there is a smallpox outbreak. Suppose there is a deadly variant. Well, if you have your Paxlovid on hand, no worries. So you can order Paxlovid from DrAlim.com. The word doctor is spelled all the way out. DrAlim.com is not the only source of Paxlovid, but it certainly is the trusted source. Beware of the scam artists. There is no such thing as Paxlovid pills. So if somebody's trying to sell you that, don't know. No, there's no such thing. So those are my opening remarks. If you're new to the call, welcome. You're in the right place. By now, you should have invited somebody. If not, get to it now. Get to it. Show that you care. This is where the information happens. And so I think that what we will do, Sister Najma, I think we'll go right to the headline. I think that was the second email that I sent you. If we can go to those headlines first. And there's a lot of headlines. I'm just going to hit on some of the major ones. Now, a lot of the things that we talk about on the Your Immunity Project, or at least that I talk about on the Your Immunity Project, you can find those on my Instagram account. That's Mookie Fuad on Instagram. Mookie is spelled M-U-K-I. Fuad is spelled F-U-A-D, Mookie Fuad. Can you blow that up a little bit? I can see it, but it would be better if it was bigger. Yes, all right, that's great. So the first headline says, Digital Tyranny and the Rockefeller Gates WHO Vax Certificate Passport Towards a World War III Scenario. Okay, so now, in other words, this whole international pandemic is global. Is a move towards global government, global citizenship. So here's the headline, the video presentation. You can go check it out for yourself. And here's a follow-up headline. Think very carefully about accepting the concept of vaccine passports. Well, we actually have thought very carefully about it. And that's one of the reasons we're doing the clinical trials. That's so that we will have a document of our own to show that we are safe to go. So that's a good incentive for you to enroll in the clinical trial. So you will have something on your cell phone that says that you are good to go. Biden promises that the U.S. will develop boosters targeting Omicron variant. Fauci says new lockdowns unlikely. Biden promises that the U.S. will develop boosters. Well, the first shot didn't work, so what makes you think that the booster is going to work? And we're going to come back to the details on this Omicron variant. In a few minutes. And now Lord Fauci, some people call him Lord Fauci now, he has proclaimed that the world will never eradicate COVID. Certainly not under his leadership, that's for sure. Now, they certainly seem to have eradicated it in China. Now, the head doctor in China is Dr. Zhang. So I think maybe we need to consult with Dr. Zhang, because I don't think Dr. Zhang agrees with Fauci that the world will never eradicate COVID. That they eradicated it in China, they eradicated it in South Korea, they eradicated it in Cuba. So why won't he eradicate it here in the U.S.? It's because he won't do what they did in Cuba, and he won't do what they did in China, which they use as interferon. And so, but now, you see, some of the senators, Senator Cruz and Ron Paul, are blasting the astounding authoritarian Fauci for his, quote, I am science claim. Yes, Lord Fauci declares himself to be, he is science. He personifies science, you see. So this is obviously a megalomaniac. This is obviously a megalomaniac that has lost his mind, and he needs to be taken down. Let's look at the next group of headlines. Can you, yes. Look at this one. Now, this is from Vancouver, British Columbia, up in Canada. Stillbirths occurring at unprecedented rates. Vax mothers grieving. See, this is happening all over the world where they're telling mothers, and some of them, you know, to keep their jobs, they're working mothers. To keep their job, they got the shot. They didn't want it. They were forced to take it. Now they're giving birth to dead babies. No severe Omicron COVID-19 cases among vaccinated people, top Israeli expert. Well, actually, there's no severe Omicron COVID-19 cases anywhere. According to the doctor in South Africa who reported it, he said that it's a very mild variant of the COVID-19. Now, according to the World Health Organization, the next headline says the Omicron variant poses, quote, a very high global risk. So who's right? The doctor on the ground who actually is treating patients? Or WHO? The new Omicron COVID-19 variant could be less deadly than feared, says a top Russian scientist. And the top South African doctor confirms no evidence that the Omicron variant is more harmful than the Delta variant. As the G7 nations push urgent action. So you see, this is all contrived. This is all being made up. And we're going to get a little bit deeper into this as we go along. Next headlines, I think there were three sets. Yes. Look at this one. China says prepare for Armageddon. A warning to the entire world from President Xi of China. Armageddon. He's telling the military, he's telling the Chinese military, prepare for Armageddon. And look at this, a German chemistry PhD murdered today for this warning, where he exposed issues concerning the nanographene oxide blades said to be slicing the human body to pieces. Yes, you see, and so this is part of the damage that's being done. If you go to my Instagram account, you'll see what the AstraZeneca shot has done to some women. It causes a thrombosis of breast tissue, or any tissue, but in this case it was breast tissue, which causes that organ itself just to die from a lack of blood supply. And it just literally rots. And of course that's a death sentence. And at the bottom here, COVID bioweapon injections cause prion diseases. So now you can check this out yourself. I've mentioned this before in the past. Prions are infectious proteins, and that's what the spike protein is. It's an infectious protein. Most of us have been schooled to think about bacteria as infectious agents, viruses as infectious agents, parasites, fungus, mold. Those are infectious agents that we think about. We don't think about a protein. So we're wearing a mask. Well, that might help you against the bacteria if it's big enough. Might help you a little bit against the virus. It certainly won't help you against a protein. So I think that was the last of the headlines. Is that correct? Is there another one? I think I think we'll go to our research team if they're available. I know Dr. Nadia just became a grandmother, so she's not going to be with us tonight. She has better things to do.
Yes, sir. Brother Dowd's here.
Brother Dowd, he's our IT specialist on our research team. So what do you have for us tonight, Brother Dawood?
Assalamu alaikum. Good to be back. Yeah, congratulations to Sister Nadia. So
yes.
She did leave some instructions that progress is being made on the clinical trial study questions and format that will be released sometime towards late January. But I think the first thing I should remind all the listening audience here is that you can continue to sign up for phase two of the clinical trial study at yourimmunityproject.org. You can continue to sign up there. All of those that were in phase one are automatically included, and you receive those survey questions so that we can continue to capture the kind of information that will give us some understanding of how your response has been, your observations have been while using Paxamune, and any situation that you've had with encountering COVID-19. So, Dr. Aline, we've seen now, I think nearly 100 have signed up for phase two. We'll keep that open so everyone can continue to sign up.
Okay.
The additional feature that we've added to the app, we're doing a bit of testing on it now, but the plan is the second week of December still. where we'll be able to see a pass type image or QR code that will show up on your app, so you can utilize that in some of the locations that are requiring an entry pass. And it won't be exactly the same as the COVID-19 passport, as they call it, but it will have a similar look and feel, so to speak, and then let the individual know that you're a participant in a medical doctor-led clinical trial. So those are the majority of the updates that I have right now.
Okay. All right, well, that's great. And let me emphasize, as one of the headlines showed, they are really pushing not just COVID-19 passports, but global COVID-19 passports. And so I can't emphasize how important it is to get yourself enrolled in the clinical trial. So we have some pushback against this global effort. It's not just a local effort. It's just not a matter of you going to the local restaurant that you want to visit or just to be out in the public. As these rules start rolling down, but it's the fact that this is a global effort, and so we have to have a global pushback, and though this is the beginning of it. So thank you, Brother Dawood, for that report from our research team. We look forward to progress in the future. So people can sign up for the clinical trial. I believe that is yourimmunityproject.org. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
They can leave their information there to sign up for the second phase. So thank you very much. And let me ask, do we have Brother Ruben, or is Australia on the line?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam. Brother Ruben, you're down there in Melbourne, Australia. And
that is
what
correct.
We hear
that
is terrible. Is it really that bad?
Oh, it's pretty bad down here, actually. In fact, as of yesterday, the listeners who have been here on the show for the last few weeks, I know that I mentioned a little bit about what they were trying to introduce, something called the pandemic bill or law. This is what everybody is protesting against, the protests you're seeing in the cities on television. Well, as of yesterday, one of the members of parliament, the one who had the deciding vote, voted for it. So that is now going to be law. Now, just to give a very brief background, there's a lot to it, but the key things are they have increased the fines to ridiculous amounts for, not abiding by the law. The law is, of course, you've got to scan in everywhere you go. And anyone caught breaking the rules, the fines for individuals have gone up from $500 to $90,000 for each offense. And
$1,000.
Yes, that's correct. And for businesses, so businesses who, for whatever reason, allow, say, someone such as myself who's not vaccinated to enter, because those who are unvaccinated are only allowed to do three things now: to go to the grocery store to buy food. You cannot go buy clothes or anything else that you need, but food only, to the drugstore. And the third thing you're allowed to go is to get vaccinated. That's it. You're locked out of society. If you have to attend therapy, as an example, my daughter attends therapy for certain conditions that she has. She's now not allowed to enter any therapy center, for example. Yes. So you're completely blocked out from any indoor venues, anything at all. So, it's going to be very difficult for them to enforce if you go to your local park or playground, but even there, you do need to scan in as well. But that's very difficult for them to enforce that. They don't have that many police or others, marshals or whoever going around checking. So, you know, you can use that as an escape. You know, yesterday was a very hot day here. We're in summer in the southern hemisphere, and I went to the beach, for example. You're not supposed to be there, but, you know, no one's really checking. So you can get away with certain things, but for the most part, everything else that people like to do, you know, go to the movies, go to restaurants, go shopping, all those things, you're completely locked out of those venues. If a business is caught allowing you they get almost $500,000 fine per event. So basically, you know, they're putting the onus back on the businesses that, you know, anyone getting $500,000 fine, that's the end of your business. You know, probably even end of your financial life. So they've made it very tough. Now, the member of parliament who made the law, who basically crossed over from no to yes to give it a one vote majority, he is right now having police protection because he got all kind of death threats on him and other things because, you know, they're not playing here. This is very serious. People, I mean, a week ago we were at 90% vaccination, I think I mentioned. We're now at 94% vaccination. So they managed to get another 4% of the population here vaccinated, and they're almost, you know, they're going for that 100% target, but the people are still against it. They've made it very, very difficult because it is really, you know, the jab or your job, and only so many can hold out for so long. So there's still a good 6% of us here still saying no, but, you know, we expect that they'll make even more our life even more difficult. Oh, the one thing they did take away from the bill, from the law that they were passing, is the 2-year prison term. So they had mentioned that they would have a 2-year prison term for those breaking any of these new laws that they're bringing in. That's been removed. However, they have introduced a fine of about $21,000 if you refuse to give information. In other words, if you're arrested or somehow you need to give information about others who you're protesting with or anything that the police want you to snitch on. Wow. Now, if you don't cooperate, they're going to slap you with a $21,000 fine for not helping them with certain information that they need. So, you know, some things came off, but other things got introduced. So welcome to Australia. This is what used to be the most livable city. It's now, I'd say, probably the most unlivable city in the world, you know, Melbourne, Australia.
Now,
also further up north, they had set up what they called the COVID quarantine centers. You know, some people call them concentration camps. If you go online, you know, people will show you pictures of what they look like. Well, as of this morning, 3 people escaped. They scaled the wall and escaped from there. So they've got police everywhere looking for these 3 people because, of course, they're scared. They might have this Omicron variant. So they got everyone scared to death that, oh, these people escaped, look out for them, don't approach, all the, you know, all the usual things. They might have a virus that's going to kill you. And they're pushing very hard for boosters, and they're still pushing for the 5 to 12-year-olds to be vaccinated. So we expect that sometime this month that will become law as well, where all children, all school children, between 5 and 12. Right now, it's everyone over 12 has to be vaccinated to attend. So, things are getting pretty interesting here in Australia. While all that is going on, something to look out for, some people probably who watch the news about what's going on here in Australia knows that we had some incredible storms. I mean, we got some of the worst storms in 30 years. So, basically, what that means, apart from, you know, people, the usual things that happen when you get flooding and whatnot, is that these floods and rains were in the crop-growing areas. So basically, a lot of the wheat that is grown and many of the seasonal fruits, summer fruits, well, they're all underwater. So so we can expect that very soon that we will have, you know, less food and an increase in price and all of those things that come along as well. Whenever there's a food shortage, price increases, lots of shortage, and lots of problems. So that's something very serious we have to keep in mind. And as we've said before, these are not things that you can just go and make tomorrow. The crops and food, they take, you know, months and months and months. So we can expect things not to get better here in Australia, but to get pretty bad. So that's all I have to say for today. And I pray that we all continue to do everything that we can to keep ourselves and our families safe. So thank you for the time, Dr. Alim. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. So that's Brother Ruben from Melbourne, Australia. And it looks like Australia is leading the way along with Israel. Now, Gibraltar was the number one country that they had 100% vaccination rate. And right after that, they had a skyrocketing death rate from so-called breakthrough COVID cases. And then, of course, next behind Gibraltar is Israel, and they're having a devastated time with the so-called breakthrough cases. And I guess right behind those two comes Australia with 94% vaccination rate. And so you can expect an explosion in sickness and deaths and cancers in Australia, along with the famine from the devastation caused by recent weather events. So thank you, Brother Reuben. We'll hopefully hear from you going forward. So stay safe. It gets very personal after a while. I didn't hear from Brother Reuben for a few days, and I, you know, you get worried. You hear about these things taking place. You wonder. So moving forward, I think we have some other images I want to go through, and then we'll hear from Nova Felder on 125th Street in Harlem. So Sister Najwa, if you could bring up the other set of images. Now, if you're not on the Zoom, you won't be able to see the images. So why don't you get on the Zoom platform so you can see the images? Yeah, here we go. See, now this is a repeat from last week, but you should not forget. The prophet Bill Gates predicts the next wave is going to be smallpox. And he's warning governments to prepare for it. And so the last time he issued a warning, you see what happened. Next image. Now, smallpox is a virus, and it's treatable with the interferon, with the Paxlovid. This is also a repeat from last week, because the public is being enraged with these unfair, unjust mandates, job or your jab or your job, and all of these things, the coercive pressures. And of course, it makes you angry if someone is abusing you in that way, threatening you in that way. And so you become like a raging bull charging at what is not really going to kill you. The mandate is not going to kill you. What the matador is hiding behind his back, the spike, that's what's going to kill the bull. And so you have to be mindful of the nature of the self-spreading, self-propagating spike protein. That's what's going to kill you. Not the mandate, not the piece of paper that says that you have to do this or you have to do that. Or, on the other side, your exemption is not going to save you from the spike protein. It was an interesting headline. I didn't show it. But, you know, this mandate includes the military. Do you know that so far the Department of Defense has not issued or not approved a single religious exemption for anyone in the military, not a single one? Next image. They don't believe in religion in the military, I suppose. Now, here it is, the self-spreading COVID-19 spike back shot. You don't have to be given the shot. You just have to be in the vicinity of people who got the shot. It self-spreads. And the experiments were done in bats. Vaccinate one bat. That bat will go back to the bat cave. And just by close contact with the other bats become vaccinated as well. It's a self-spreading vaccine. That's what this mRNA back shot is. It's a self-spreading vaccine. That's why Fauci says there's not going to be any more lockdowns. They don't want you in lockdown now. They want you out and about. And those of you who are vaxxed are going to spread the spike protein to those who are not vaxxed. And so those who are not vaxxed, who intend to stay that way, you have to be wise enough to know that when Lord Fauci says it's okay to come out of lockdown, that's when you need to go into self-quarantine. So this is taken from my Instagram, so you can go look at this in detail yourself. So you understand the nature of self-spreading vaccines. This is not new technology. This is old technology. Next image. It's new to be using on people, Now, here's what Brother Ruben was talking about, the COVID camps. The Australian Army transferring people of Aborigine descent into these quarantine camps. And he just told us three escapes. Next image. Now, in the U.S., they call them FEMA camps. Now, thousands of Marines are defying Biden's vaccine, not just Marines, but in the Navy, Air Force, all branches of the military. Thousands and thousands of military personnel are refusing the vaccine, which damages military readiness. So this becomes a national security issue. Next image. If you could blow this up bigger. Now, this is on my Instagram account, Mookie Fuad, but the Vaxxymune destruction is 5% per week. That means that your immune system is degraded by the spike protein, which enters the nucleus of the cell at a rate of 5% per week. So if a person receives the vaccine, the so-called vaccine, and their immune function was 100%, well, within 1 week, it's down to 95%. Within 2 weeks, it's down to 90%. 3 weeks, 85%, so on and so forth. So you do the math. So when they reach the point of degradation far enough, that literally is the definition of AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And so it's too small to read here on the big screen, but on the lower right, these are actually clinical records of patients, of their immune profile. And it shows the decrease in the CD4, CD8 counts. Those are the T lymphocytes that are most affected by these shots. And, of course, the CD4 and CD8s, these were the markers for AIDS. I'm a 30-year veteran of treating AIDS patients. So we all, what's your CD4 count? What's your CD8 count? That told the whole story. And so what we're seeing is the same profile that was so common in AIDS patients 30 years ago, that same immune profile is showing up in people who got the shot. The difference is 30 years ago when we saw this profile in AIDS patients, we could treat it with interferon. Nowadays, when we see this immune profile in people who got the vax, there is no treatment. Next image, please. Yeah, now here's an interesting headline. This is actually from Europe. Dozens of athletes, most of them are soccer players, you know, professional soccer players, dropping like flies. And nobody is allowed to ask the question, why? And, of course, when we read headlines like this, we're like this stupid guy down here. Well, I'm not an athlete. What does that have to do with me? Well, it has everything to do with you, because if people who are in the peak of physical conditioning are dropping dead, what do you think non-athletes are doing? They just don't get the headlines. Next image, please. And this is also from Australia. The Aborigines are calling for help. They're being attacked, literally. The military is being used against them to force quarantine them. Next image. Omicron. So this was the name of a movie, I think maybe 30, 40 years ago, back in the 70s. Omicron. Omicron is the 15th letter of the Greek alphabet. They're just running the alphabet with these different variants. They're just running the Greek alphabet, just like they do with hurricanes. They just run the alphabet. So Omicron is the 15th letter of the Greek alphabet. And interestingly enough, there was a movie made but with that name, and it was all about some kind of an alien that invaded some factory worker's body to invade the planet or something, some kind of sci-fi movie. Now, if you can blow this up, I want to see the upper left-hand corner real as much as you can. So, okay, that's good. Now, here is a bulletin from the Botswana government that disappeared almost as soon as it came out. Botswana is where this new Omicron variant showed up. The Botswana government says the new variant was discovered. Listen, the Botswana government says the new variant was discovered inside the bodies of fully vaxxed people. And in another report, the fully vaxxed people where this new virus was discovered, they were dead. They were fully vaxxed, but they were dead. There's another report that says that there were four bodies where this new variant was discovered in Botswana, and these were foreign travelers. They were not people from Botswana. They were foreign travelers with diplomatic passports. So the mystery deepens. And so they discovered a variant inside of the body of people who apparently died of a very severe, overwhelming infection. So maybe they have discovered the variant that isn't so mild. Maybe they've discovered a variant that's deadly. So we'll see. Next image, please. And, of course, this is just a play on words. This could have nothing whatsoever to do with reality. Omicron could not possibly mean, oh, my crown, could it? No, it couldn't mean that. Next slide. Oh, now, this is, blow this up. You see, this is the AstraZeneca, AZ. See, the AZ, the AS. See, the AS is an ancient tool. Now, this is a woman who got the AstraZeneca booster. And it caused the blood vessels in her breasts to form clots. And so with no blood flow, then the breast tissue became necrotic, which is to say it died. And, of course, you can imagine what happened to her. You see, so this is the result of the AstraZeneca shot, which apparently has worse side effects than the other ones. Next image, please. Now, this is very interesting. Why Africa has less than 6% vaccination but the least COVID-19 cases. Well, you figure that out. It's showing you that the vaccine is actually the problem. And as I already said, if Africa is the least vaccinated place on Earth, well, Gibraltar, Israel, and Australia are the most vaccinated places on Earth, and they also have the most COVID cases. So now there's another wrinkle to this story too. Let me see the next image. I don't know. You might have to come back to this one. Yes, yes, let's blow this one up. See, why only the vax bioweapon can kill Africa. And this is based on a research that was done and published in Nature, the Nature Journal. The Nature Journal, if you don't know, is the single most prestigious scientific journal in the world, Nature. And so the research that I'm referring to was published in Nature early on in the pandemic because they noticed that Africans weren't getting sick. And they found out why. When they did the research, they found out that the COVID-19 virus specifically attacks people who have the Neanderthal gene. The Neanderthal gene is located on the third chromosome. Well, very few people in Africa have the Neanderthal gene. So pretty much anybody in Africa is immune to COVID-19 because they don't have the Neanderthal gene. This raises the question, Why was the COVID-19 man-made virus designed only to attack people with the Neanderthal gene? Well, because it's a genetic weapon, that's why. Designed to wipe out people with the Neanderthal gene. And that's what it's doing. And it's not wiping out the people who don't have the Neanderthal gene. And so without going into the details, the reason why that's true is because what we're experiencing is a retaliatory attack coming from China. They're retaliating against the West for attacking them at first with the original COVID-19 virus out of Fort Detrick, Maryland. And so it's attack, counterattack. And the counterattack was very specific because the original SARS-1, 2003, was a genetic weapon designed against Chinese people. And so now the counterattack from China is against people with the Neanderthal gene who attacked them. So this is genetic warfare, biological genetic warfare. So the only way that Africa could be killed is if Africans accept the kill shot. And of course, we know several African leaders have already been assassinated because they said no. And so we need to pray for the African leaders and the African people that they are able to withstand the enormous pressure that's going to be put on them to accept this lethal kill shot. Next image, please. I think there's another one. Yes. See, France invades Niger. Once a French colony, now France has military forces on the ground in Niger being opposed by ordinary citizens on the ground. They stopped a military convoy. They invaded Niger from Burkina Faso. You say, well, what does this have to do with COVID-19? Well, haven't you noticed that President Biden put a travel ban on Africa? Well, maybe the travel ban on Africa is to allow countries like France to invade. How come France gets to go in and invade and take over a country and you can't get out or can't get into Africa? Because there's a travel ban because of Omicron variant. And where is this in the news? How come you don't know? Next image. Now, here's a headline that you didn't hear. The Indian Supreme Court has accepted charges against Bill Gates filed by the Indian Law Association. This is the country of India, where Bill Gates has been experimenting for years, and is alleged that he's killed hundreds of thousands of Indian children with experimental vaccines. And so now a actual lawsuit has been accepted by the Indian Supreme Court. Murder charges filed against Bill Gates with a possibility of a death sentence. No coverage in the Western press. Next image. And why shouldn't he be charged? Now look at this. Now this was in the news. This is Virgil Abloh. I guess I'm saying his name right. And he died. He was a famous designer, Louis Vuitton. Okay. Top in his field. Now, he was also a defendant in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. He was on the guest list of Epstein Island, the Lolita Express. And he dies of a super cancer. Can you blow this up a little bit? He died of an angiosarcoma of the heart. An angiosarcoma is a rare tumor. And in all my days in medicine, I never heard of a tumor of the heart or a cancer of the heart. There were two things we were told in medical school that you would never see: cancer of the heart and cancer of the hands. I've never seen cancer of the hands, and I've never seen cancer of the heart. But here, all of a sudden, a defendant in the Ghislaine Maxwell case suddenly dies of a super cancer in the heart. And all over the world, you have super cancers in vaxxed people breaking out. Explosion of super cancers and fatal clotting among vaxxed people everywhere. Dr. Ryan Cole has a video on the raging deadly cancer outbreak among the vaxxed people. Now, if you can blow up that top part. Now, this is the article I mentioned earlier from Sweden, from the University of Stockholm. This explains why there is an explosion in super cancers, why people who get the vax develop a situation, an immune profile that is literally AIDS. It is because the spike protein does enter the cell nucleus. The spike protein does enter the cell nucleus. Now, Anthony Fauci said it doesn't. The FDA said it doesn't. The CDC said it doesn't. But the Swedish researchers found out that it does, that the spike protein and other proteins that are associated with the COVID-19 virus enter the cell nucleus and damage the DNA's ability to repair itself. Now, without getting into the details of it, what that means is that your immune system can no longer fight cancer. Cancer cells break out in your body every day, but your immune system takes care of them, so they never amount to anything. But now, with the shot and the damage being done to the DNA repair system, now the immune system cannot handle these cells when they become cancerous. And then the angiosarcoma, I believe, has another name called Kaposi's sarcoma. And that, of course, that was a rare tumor until AIDS came on the scene. And that was often the cause of death with people with AIDS 30 years ago. And now here we have a super fashion designer who apparently took a ride on the Lolita Express. Next image, please. Now, this is funny. People put this up. I caught this. Everybody puts this up. Everybody, I'm in support of mandatory vacations for everyone and booster vacations every 4 months. Ha, 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 ha. And it was kind of funny, you know, because you read it real fast and you think it's someone in support of mandatory vaccinations, but it's vacations, which is funny until you realize you already had a mandatory vacation. They called it lockdown. Yeah, and you're going to get locked down, you know, until you comply. That's what Brother Ruben's story tells us from Australia. Oh, you're going to get the booster. Every so months, you're going to boost up the pressure against you until you comply. Okay, so how funny is that? Next image. Now, this is disturbing. It was reported just a few days ago that 4.3 million workers are missing in America. Now, in the middle of what we know is a depopulation agenda, the question has to be asked by somebody. Where are all of the missing workers? Where did they go? They said 100,000 truck drivers are missing. Where did they go? Well, in the movie Soylent Green, everybody was promised a special vacation. And they never returned from those vacations. And so maybe all the workers were given mandatory vacations. And that's where they are, in vacation land, where you check in, but you never check out. So again, that question is still standing there. Where are the workers? Where are the people that used to be driving trucks? Where are the people that used to be in the factories? Where are the people that used to do the things that society depends on? The cogs in the wheel that drove the wheels of society, where are they? How could 4.3 million workers disappear and nobody know anything about it? Next image. Is there another one? I don't know. Yeah, now this is, blow this up. This is very important. See, these are headlines that don't often make the mainstream media. Omicron war games. So in Israel, in, I believe, the month of September. The article's on my Instagram, the actual dates. But they actually had a war game simulation of a COVID-19 variant. And it sounded very much like what's taking place with Omicron. And, of course, this graph is showing you what the situation is like in Israel, that every time they start a vaccine campaign, they get peaks and peaks of illness and disease and death. You see, so this was all scripted out in advance. And it reminds you of Event 201 that took place in October of 2019, where Bill Gates in Baltimore at Johns Hopkins scripted out the whole COVID-19 pandemic. So now maybe this is a new phase of that pandemic, the old my crown phase, scripted in Israel. Next image, please. Oh. Now this, if you can blow this up so you can read it. You see, now they're trying to walk this back. But Biden is quoted as having said on CNN in an interview that at a certain point, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign. Let me read that again. This is a direct quote from President Joe Biden. And he was saying that this is something that he's told to a former President Barack Obama, that I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign, just like Jack Dorsey had to resign from Twitter. Isn't that interesting? And who was it that just resigned from Walmart? Isn't that interesting? And I think somebody from CNBC, one of the mainstream media, somebody just resigned. I think about 15 senators and congressmen, they said they're resigning from Congress. You see, so this is the age of resignation. And what would happen if President Biden resigns? And then they said that they don't want Kamala. And then Hillary says, well, I'm still available. So wouldn't that be something? Next image, please. I wonder what disease he would say. Oh, that was the last one. I wonder what disease he would say he developed. I guess senile dementia. So I think that's those are all of the images. Do we have Nova Felder on the line from 125th Street in the center of Harlem, where it all happens? He was going to call in around 8 o'clock.
I don't see him on. He has about a minute.
Okay. So, but in any case, let us open up the lines for people to call in with testimonials or reports, questions, answers. And then maybe along the way, we will pick up Nova Felder calling in. Now, this is the event that is still available online. Informed African American. This is the COVID vaccine African American summit, and they got me there. And of course, this is Nova Felder right there that we're waiting to hear from, Dr. Phil Valentine and other experts. So check it out. This is the Informed African Americans. That's the website. They won't have this on social media, so you got to go to the website, Informed African Americans. And it's a two-hour presentation by expert African-Americans. You don't want to miss this. You want to share this with family and friends so that they are informed. So when you have your discussions around the holiday dinner tables, then everybody's informed, and they're not just talking nonsense that they're repeating from the mainstream media. So do we have any calls?
Yes, sir. Now, if Nova, if you're on a nut on your cell phone and you're not by your name, please raise your hand, and we will be able to get you that way, just in case you're on a cell phone and you haven't been able to put your name in the chat. So for everyone that's on the Zoom, if you have a question or a testimonial, hit raise your hand, And if you're on the conference call, hit star 6 and the number 1, and that'll place you in the queue to ask your question or give your testimony. All right, so we do have a caller here.
All right, go right ahead.
Send high speed mega, so I'm not sure who that is. So please unmute. Unmute yourself. There you go.
Okay. Let me see. Am I unmuted?
Yes, you're unmuted.
Okay, I just have one question, and I'm still just kind of waiting for an answer on it. But what are we doing about getting a legal team together so that we can begin to fight against all of these people who are perishing from taking these illegal drugs? And that's all the questions that I have. Are we working on that in any way?
Well, yes, we are. That's a very good question. That's a very, very important question. Now, one of the experts on our expert panel is an attorney, Tricia Lindsay, and I'm sure she's on the front lines along with others, but we've long since had an appeal. Where are the lawyer warriors? You see, we have a lot of doctors who are making a stand. You know, I'm one of them. I'm just one of many. But where are the lawyers? Where are activist lawyers, you know, who would defend the rights of the people? I think that we have enough evidence that someone with a legal mind could make a foolproof legal argument in any court. But I have the same question that you have. Where are they? Where are they? Why are they so silent? You don't hear a thing from them. You see, and we know we have prominent, well-known lawyers who are known activists, and they're loud and vociferous on other issues. Well, for some reason, they've fallen silent where COVID-19 issues are concerned. And so we want them to come forward. So, yes, thanks for that call.
Sister Connie, do you have anyone?
I don't have anyone right now.
Okay.
Okay.
We have Sister Lorraine Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Go ahead.
This is Sister Lorraine. I'd just like to share a testimony, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, please.
Last year, December, I had the diverticulitis, and I was on a dialysis and a high blood pressure and a whole lot of medicine. And I want to say thank Allah. It's been 1 year, Dr. Haleem, with your Pax Immune and the help of the brothers and sisters that with your support and listening and help my family regarding to the vaccine. So I want to thank Allah for you for all the work you're doing and also your staff. Not only are you a mentor or a help of Allah and his work, but also you're saving lives. So you stay on the battlefield, Dr. Haleem. This is Sister Lorraine, pioneer, Wilmington, Delaware.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
We appreciate that very much. Yeah, sometimes the going gets rough, and it helps to get that positive feedback sometimes. Thank you. Do we have anyone else?
Yes, sir. We have Brother Carlito Muhammad.
Brother Carlito, that's Calphani Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, Doc.
Wa alaikum salam.
Family. Doc, really, I just had a comment. An amazing presentation. Amazing presentation. I want to thank you for that presentation. And I really, the comment is to Sister Najima and Sister Connie and the staff that helped the visuals. And, you know, every day, every week, it gets better and better and better. And it allows you, and it allows you, Doc, to really release your spirit into educating us on what to do and stay away from. So I just want to just thank you and your team for such an amazing job. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yeah, well, you know, I really appreciate the help, you know, because it's, you know, really, it's more than just one person can do. It's more than what three people can do. It takes everybody's hand in on it, you know, to get this whole thing done. And I really appreciate the help that I have. Sister Najma, Sister Connie, and others are just doing a fabulous job. And you're right, it does get better every week. I look forward to it, to see what they're going to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Lastly, Doc, you know, everybody that has been following Calfani Radio, they do know that at the month of December, we have our hiatus to get ready for the up and coming year. But this year, we will be airing the number one show on Calfani Radio, which is the 19th Element, will be continued every single Wednesday. So thank you so very much, family. As-salamu alaykum.
Is that tomorrow night? Is the 19th Element on tomorrow night?
Yes, it is.
Okay. You heard the man from Calfani Radio.
As-salamu alaykum.
The growing radio network on the internet.
Yes, sir. Inshallah. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so we're going to be doing the 19th Element tomorrow night on Calfani Radio. Look for that. Now, the 19th Element is not confined to talk about COVID-19. We talk about whatever we want to. But it's always good. It's always direct. It's always about the truth. It's always uplifting. So tune in, 9 p.m., Calfani Radio. Any other calls? Have we heard from Nova Felder?
Let me check and see if he's on yet. Okay, I don't see him on yet.
Okay. Let's take one or two more calls, and then I think we'll call it a night. Yes. A lot of information is a little overwhelming.
Sister Nas, let me get this one with the testimony. He come over from the Facebook Live. So, Brother Sebastian, go right ahead. You on, sir. Can you hear her? Can you speak up, love? Can you hear her, Sister Nas and Dr. Ling?
No.
Let me see something. Hold on for a minute.
It's low. It's very low now.
Okay, hold up for a minute. Let me see what's happening here. Okay, now. Say, assalamu alaikum now.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yay.
Wa alaikum salam. Go ahead.
Sister Carolyn from Memphis, I want to call to give a testimony.
Yeah, go ahead.
About my mom had gotten really sick. And so, but before that, we had gotten Pacifier, and we had sent her Pacifier. Well, turned out she had cancer, but we didn't know. So we were all taking our packs. I had gone down to my hometown of Clarksville, and I was taking care of my mom. And my aunt had COVID, but we didn't know. We just thought she was sick, like, you know, with the cold or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting in a car, and I was talking to my aunt, and she came and got in the car. She didn't have a mask on. Of course, I'm just thinking she has a cold. She gets in the car. I'm in the car. We talked maybe like 20, 30 minutes, and she was just as close to me from the driver to the passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I get home, maybe a few days later, she calls and says she has COVID. So the whole time that we were taking care of my mom, we would give her the Paxlovid, and we would take it like 3-4 times a day because there were so many people in and out. So I never got COVID, nor did my mom. Turned out my mom was in the hospital right after that for like 10 days. She had to have surgery. But we were there every day. Me and my sisters, we just took rotations taking care of her, so we had the pack with us. So we would give her squirts 2-3 times a day, just every day. We did up until the time she went back home, which was maybe about 10 days later.
Uh-huh.
So I thank God that we never got COVID. And we were in and out of the hospital, in and out of doctor's office. People, our family were around us, but because we were always on the pack, you know, we never got sick. Like, I didn't think to tell my aunt, you know, to maybe, you know, get further away, whatever, because we thought it was cold. But as I was talking to her, you could just see droplets in the car because the sun was streaming through. This was right before Thanksgiving, right after. So the sun was streaming through. You could just see droplets coming out of her mouth like shit. Like, you could see it because of the sunlight. And she said, while we were talking, she said her daughter's neighbor had COVID. So they do a lot of traveling. So I put my mask on. She said, oh, girl, I ain't got no COVID like that. And I was like, well, I don't know if I kept it on. But we were talking for like 20, 30 minutes in full proximity, even before I put my mask on. And so after that happened, I had no doubt that it was the Paxil that kept us from all getting sick. Because there was just no way. She was so close to me, and she was definitely positive. She was really sick.
Yes.
But we never, got sick.
Well, thank you very much for that testimonial, because that actually proves the point that was proven scientifically in China, that not a single healthcare worker in Wuhan City got sick when they were using the low-dose interferon. And so here you are saying exactly the same thing.
When we have to go and do things.
Okay, I'm not. Is she still there? I don't know.
She's still there. She didn't hear what you were saying. Go right ahead, Dr. Lean.
I'm sorry. I thought
he was speaking.
Oh, no, I was just saying that her testimonial actually proves the research that was done in China, where when they gave the interferon to healthcare workers in Wuhan City, not a single one of them got infected, even though they were on the front lines. But that proves the interferon works, and she just saying the same thing. So thank you very much for that testimonial. So let's take one more, and then I think we'll call it an evening. I got to check on Mom in a few minutes.
Okay, that was the last caller on the Zoom.
Okay.
Oh, we do have one more. I'm sorry. He just put his hand up.
Okay.
Go ahead. You can put it back up. I think... I don't know if he did it by accident or not. Okay. All right, Brother Vernon Muhammad.
Yes, real quick, Doc. I know this is kind of a difficult question because you don't give advice on the call, but for your patients who you were seeing, not advice, but what would you tell those of us who are no longer able to see you, just to continue the last step they were on when they visited you?
Well, you're right. That's a very difficult question. And you see, no man is an island. So people who used to come to see me in my office, and it's been closed now, it's going on 2 years in January, they may not have realized all of the support staff that was backing me up that allowed me to do what I was doing. And then, of course, with the COVID pandemic, we attempted to do teleconsultations, and I had a team of people who were helping me to do that. But over time, for various reasons, that team that was helping me has disappeared, and I don't have the help. So I can't really do what I was hoping I could do. The second part of it is, and I think you are someone who used to see me in my office, and part of the routine, you might recall, was we used an instrument called the system survey or symptom survey. But for reasons that I'm not clear about, that is no longer available. So it seems that all of the tools that I had in my hands to really literally reach out and help people, all of those tools have been taken away. And so the best advice that I can give to anybody is think. The number one strategy is to think. And those of you who have been my patients, I gave you a lot of information over a long period of time. And so now is the time for you to independently think and use that as best you can. Now, the number one concern, you know, to simplify everything down to the least common denominator, what is it ultimately all about? It's ultimately about nutrition. Immunity is no better than your nutritional condition. Your immune system is the alliance of all body systems. There is no single system called the immune system. It's the alliance of all body systems working together. So like a chain, it's no stronger than the weakest link. So if you have good, strong, balanced nutrition as your foundation, then you will have good, strong nutrition. Pardon me, good, strong immunity. I did an interview with the Final Call today about the difference or the comparison of natural immunity versus, you know, this passive or artificial immunity given by shots. Some studies showed natural immunity is 30 times stronger than anything that you could get from a shot. And so we developed the, you remember the Living Green powder?
So, every day.
Yeah, so the AdLife, that's the commercial name, AdLife Super Green Powder, contains literally everything that the body needs to stay strong. And so good nutrition is the foundation. And inshallah, as soon as possible, we'll be able to deliver better service than we are right now. But right now, literally, I'm not able to do very much of anything. All the tools have been taken away.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. So thank you, one and all, for tuning in once again to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. We do this every Tuesday, 7 p.m. So mark it on your calendar. Spread the information around. Let everybody know that this is what takes place. This is where you get the answers to questions. This is where you get the inside story, the story behind the story, and something different than the official propaganda narrative. So I want to thank you. See you next week. Sister Najmo, please close us out with whatever announcements that we have. I'm going to sign off myself and take care of my mom.